Welcome to the H2H Human Connection Done Right Summit, bringing together forward-thinking leaders who understand that true innovation happens when people, process, and technology work in harmony. Lean into this refreshing, energizing experience designed to inspire you with a new approach to a timeless principle. Our speakers will offer fresh insights that will challenge perspectives and spark new ideas.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Human to Human Digital Transformation Done Right. My name is Maria Trisla, and just for my background, I'm a former two-time CEO and multi-year CMO, transitioning to a role as a marketing advisor or fractional CMO. And my focus is on SaaS technology and media companies to accelerate revenue growth. Said differently, it's when growth has stalled, or a company needs to move from founder-led revenue growth to founder-inspired revenue growth, or when growth at all costs doesn't seem to be working and you need to get a scalable revenue mindset. So that's enough about me, and let's go on and speak to this concept of revenue architecture. So, of course, today is all about digital transformation. You know, that's in the headline of the various, you know, insightful speakers that you're going to be listening to. And I'm going to offer McKinsey's definition of digital transformation. And that is, it's a rewiring of an organization with the goal being to create value by continuously deploying technology at scale. And what I like that about that definition is what I'm going to suggest is I am going to present an opportunity for you to rewire your go-to-market teams. So I'm going to start off with some stats and then what I think is a personal story. I kind of call it a horror story with a good ending. So LinkedIn Global B2B Marketing Benchmark reported that 90% of sales and marketing professionals identify disconnects across strategy, process, content, and objectives between their teams. 90%. And this misalignment between marketing and sales costs companies an average of 10 to 15% of revenue per year. So that's, I think, kind of astonishing. So I'm going to move away from stats. I'm going to tell you a real life story. So I was the VP of marketing. I had a sales counterpart, a VP of sales who was my counterpart, and sales wasn't meeting their objectives. And so we both went away and we went back and said, okay, let's dig into the details. So my team kind of dug into the details and found that there were more than 300 leads that never were working by sales. So they're merely sitting in Salesforce, never assigned to sales reps, just sitting at the sales director level or above. And so of course the marketing team was all up in arms. And, you know, there was a lot of energy around that. Like, why shouldn't they be working on these sales? So, you know, kind of with the eyeset of collaboration, I went to my sales counterpart and I basically said to him, if your sales team have worked these leads and closed these leads at your current close rate and your current TCV or total contract value, you, the sales team wouldn't be missing the revenue target. I hope there's gas from the audience, or at least that's the reaction I hope you're all taking. And that is, this is missed opportunities. And so moving this to a positive, I'm going to suggest, imagine a world where marketing, sales, and customer success teams operate as a single high-performing unit, aligned in strategy, process, and measurement. Well, basically, that's the promise of revenue architecture. So today, we'll explore how this framework can transform your revenue ecosystem with a scalable growth engine. I'm going to go into what is revenue architecture, why traditional go-to-market models fall short, what are the core principles associated with revenue architecture, how to implement a unified revenue model, and then give you some case studies and some real-world key takeaways. So let's start with that. What is revenue architecture? So revenue architecture is a data-driven approach that unites all revenue-generating functions and that is sales, marketing, and customer success into a single operating model with shared goals and language. Frankly, with my history in, say, SaaS technology and media companies, you might find marketing and sales are unified. Hopefully they're unified. I've been in situations where it's been marketing versus sales as compared to marketing and sales. But then nobody's really talking to customer success. And that is the premise behind revenue architecture. And just for background, this is a framework introduced by the company named Winning by Design, the brainchild of the founder, Jacko. I won't attempt to butcher his last name. J-A-K-K-O, if you want to learn more, that truly takes the funnel that we used to refer to as our revenue model, right? Upper funnel, middle funnel, lower funnel to close. And we all know what happens in a funnel. The water runs out. Customers might run out, right? That's your churn. What it does is it sets us on the side and talks about the customer experience journey as being either a circle where it has no beginning and end, right? Or the way Winning by Design frames it is a bow tie. And really, it's everybody collaborating together. So again, revenue architecture, data-driven approach unites all revenue generating functions into a single operating model. And the goal of doing this is to create predictable, scalable, and repeatable revenue growth. And you do that by aligning teams, leveraging data, and optimizing go-to-market strategies. So who wouldn't want to create predictable, scalable, and repeatable revenue? Probably all of us, right? Okay, so now I'm going to kind of dive into why traditional models fall short. So, and maybe this is resonating in your organizations today. Siloed teams, right? Sales, marketing, customer success aren't working together as a unit. They're working in isolation. And that leads to inefficiency and missed opportunities. Lack of predictability. Many companies struggle to forecast revenue accurately due to inconsistent data and fragmented processes. Everyone kind of has their own dashboard, if you will. Marketing's tracking measurement, sales is tracking a different measurement, and customer success is tracking a different measurement. And not all of that is unified at the top, other than we want to grow revenue, right? And then finally, reactive growth. Companies are focusing on short-term wins instead of building sustainable, reoccurring revenue streams. So these reasons is why traditional models fall short, and that is siloed teams, lack of predictability, and reactive growth. So if you assess your organization as having siloed teams, and you're not seeing predictable revenue and sustainable revenue streams, I'd suggest that you consider the revenue architecture as a business model. I am certified as a revenue architect through the company Winning by Design. I think this is terribly intuitive, and it makes a lot of sense in today's marketplace, but you be the judge. So let's move on to key principles of revenue architecture. And there are four key principles. Number one, you have a recurring revenue mindset. And how do you do that? What does that mean? It means to shift from transactional selling to long-term value creation. Okay, just to give a tactical example, you stop talking about TCV and you start talking about lifetime value, customer acquisition cost, the health of your pipeline as compared to upper funnel, middle funnel, that kind of thing. So you really shift your mindset to be thinking about reoccurring revenue and not just marketing of sales. And then we don't exactly know what the customer journey is like. So, and here's another check that you can do to ensure that you're implementing a mindset of reoccurring revenue. And that is prioritize retention and expansion as much as you prioritize acquisition. And that's, I think, maybe one of those aha moments. I've been in many companies as an employee or as a consultant where acquisition is a big conversation, but no one's really talking about retention and expansion until it's a problem. So there's your reactive versus proactive. Number two principle in revenue architecture is unified revenue teams. I've hit on this. You need to bring together align marketing, sales, and customer success with a shared language, shared objectives. And shared language is important in that we're not going to be arguing about what's an MQL versus an SQL or SAL, or, you know, every time somebody says that word, you kind of scramble to find the definition so you remember it. So all of a sudden we strip that down and we just say, it's all about your shared objective, your number one objective. Maybe it's revenue, maybe it's retention, maybe it's expansion, but that single objective is where all of those teams have to, that's the North Star that all those three teams should be focused on. And how do you do that? You establish common KPIs and you have a single dashboard. And I really would suggest it's not like what finance is reporting. This is a dashboard owned by revenue operations, you know, that is an end-to-end customer lifecycle measurement. And you establish common KPIs to make sure that everyone is singing from the same hymnal. The third principle of revenue architecture is data-driven execution. You use data insights to drive decision-making. So in the power of AI, you can get your hands on a lot of insights, and AI can be used to leverage in driving decision-making, making sense of all this data you might have, and data that occurs across the customer lifecycle. AI is a great tool for that. In fact, you know, that's kind of one of the, you know, kind of almost the use case for that is really to use AI to do that. So use data insights to drive decision-making. And to my earlier, just I mentioned it, implement revenue operations for real-time visibility. So everybody has a dashboard. Everybody can see the dashboard on a daily basis. It's not hidden in finance. It's not, you know, hidden at the, you know, at the executive level per se. It is, you know, it's everyone can see that dashboard and how your performance is in alignment with that, with your current status. And so revenue operations is having its day in the sun. And I highly suggest you get that end-to-end measurement in place. Number four principle is customer-centric approach. Focus everything that you do on the customer. And you focus on the customer journey as to how the customer wants to interact with you, not how you want to sell to your customer, right? It's about the customer. So you focus on the customer journey. I've seen too many times, I've been with companies, you know, again, as an employee or a consultant, where the customer journey isn't mapped out, right? You haven't gone through that, you know, anywhere from a prospect wants to learn more about your company through the customer doesn't want to be a customer anymore, right? So you have to map that customer journey, and I'm putting pen to paper kind of thing. And you realize you optimize engagement and lifetime value. And I'm gonna give you a hint about this. One easy way to optimize engagement is transition points. When a prospect moves from marketing to sales to customer success, those can be areas when the customer journey breaks down. So what I like to call moments of truth, identify as you're, you know, mapping out your customer journey, you optimize engagement, you identify where those moments of truth is and how are you going to do it differently than your competitors. And then finally, as part of this customer-centric approach, create tailored playbooks for different customer segments, okay? Make sure, you know, if you have an ICP by vertical or by segment or by, you know, enterprise versus mid-market, you have a tailored playbook for marketing, sales, and customer success that ensures the day-to-day implementation of this, you know, kind of predictable revenue model. I'm gonna diverse a little bit here and just kind of go off in a tangent. So I apologize. My humble opinion, the CEO should own the revenue generating machine, right? They should own go-to-market. And I'm not trying to suggest that to give the CEO something more to do. That's not my goal. The CEO could designate to a person to act as a lead, but the CEO is ultimately responsible. So I'm going to touch on this later because this is part of, you know, kind of a secret sauce of revenue architecture. You should have regular reviews in regards to your revenue generating function, your revenue generating machine, because that's not something you want to farm out to somebody else and get a report from, right? This is critical. This is driving revenue. This is retaining customers. And this is growing more revenue out of your existing customers. It's just not something that you want to, you know, say, you know what, I'll read the meeting notes, if you will. Humble opinion, off my soapbox. Okay, how to implement revenue architecture for your organization. So I'm going to give you three kind of simple, actionable, not maybe simple, practical, let's call it practical, actionable steps that you might consider. So step number one is define your revenue strategy. And that's as easy as how are you going to grow your business, right? How do you make money? How do you drive revenue? And that question answered defines in regards to it automatically leads you to define your ideal customer profile. So it's essential to do that. I find too many times with companies that either don't have the ICP documented, or, you know, they dust it off during planning sessions, or it's very incomplete. I was consulting with a company once that said, we want to sell to SaaS companies from 5 million to 50 million. Like, that's great. That's a big audience. You just have to keep whittling it down. We actually got down to a definition of the ICP being, I want to sell to a member management software application company that's in the range of 5 to 50 million and a 2x CEO. And the 2x CEO just meant that the education awareness was really simplified. All of a sudden, their sales, their marketing, their customer success just became very targeted. So that's one of a common mistake. In fact, that's part of my VIP offer, is to dive into to make sure your ICP is as clear as it could be. One component of this step one is also to map that customer journey, the one I talked about, right? From beginning to end, every single touch point. And you look for those moments of truth. Okay, when can we provide a greater, technology is great, right? That's all you're going to hear today. But where can we interject human interaction to make our customer journey from good to great? And then this is where you start to talk about your go-to-market motion, right? So it really, it's like, what's my business? Why does it exist, right? Define your ideal customer profile, map your customer journey, and only then do you start to go talk about your go-to-market strategy. Are you inbound? Are you outbound? Are you both? Are you PLG or product-led growth, et cetera? Step two in implementing a revenue architecture is to build a scalable sales and marketing engine. You implement structured sales playbooks, like I mentioned earlier. You optimize demand gen. I'm a true believer in agile methodology. Test and learn, you know, have at least one test going per quarter and no one understand what you're measuring so you can define this success. And you can personalize engagement at every stage. So be sure to always be intentional. Again, back to that customer journey. When can we insert a human element, you know, into our technology phased lives? And step three is align team and metrics. Use a shared data framework. I talked about revenue operations. They're kind of the backbone of your go-to-market motion. If you don't have a revenue operations team in place, please get one. So align team and metrics. You track leading indicators, not just lagging results. So more proactive leading indicators, not just reactive, like, oh, churn is high. What are we going to do? You should know before when churn might be high and then trying to prevent that, obviously. And then again, what I said earlier, kind of on my soapbox around the CEO owning the go-to-market function, is you need to conduct regular cross-functional reviews, right? You need to bring together marketing, sales, and customer success, and I'd largely say with the CEO in place and, you know, other members of the executive team, but talk about what's working, what's not working, and how do we do this better? So, okay, I'm going to summarize, give you two case studies for you to ponder and a single question as I wrap up. So revenue architecture aligns all revenue generating functions under a single operating model. Okay, it's data-driven, reoccurring revenue. It's a mindset that is essential for long-term success. And alignment between sales and marketing and customer success accelerates revenue growth, and a structured, scalable approach ensures market dominance. Wouldn't we all like that? So I'm going to give you two case studies to think about. And these are kind of real life examples of what I've lived through. So I was brought in as a consultant to a company, a SaaS company, and growth had stalled due to misalignment between sales and marketing. That was, you know, that was the problem statement that was presented to me. And when I did discovery, it was true. They weren't. So we adopted the revenue architecture model and in the principles associated, we got aligned teams, we got restructured pipeline stages, and we improved data visibility. And the result was a 30% increase in conversion rate and a 200% improvement in customer retention. Not bad, huh? Here's another case study, if you will, again, from my consulting life. SaaS company, or technology company this time, struggling with high churn. They implemented revenue architecture principles. And this, and the gap here was aligning sales and customer success around customer activation. So a lot of times sales will say, oh, I've done my job, it's closed, now somebody else takes over. It was just a simple handoff. Again, when I said sometimes those moments of truth are really relating to when you can, when you're dropping the ball, you're handing the baton over. And the result was a 40% reduction in churn and a 25% in incremental revenue derived from existing customer base. So final takeaway, revenue architecture is not a buzzword. It's a mindset shift that turns your go-to-market into a high-performing, predictable engine. And I can, if I can ask you one question that you might consider is, can you confidently predict where your next 10 to 20 million in revenue will come from? And on all of, and are all of your teams aligned on that answer? Think about that. Can you predict where your next 10 to 20 million in revenue is coming from? And do your teams understand what that is? And are they aligned on that answer? So thank you for your time. I appreciate you listening and interacting with this topic of revenue architecture. You can always find me on LinkedIn, Maria Trissel. I think I'm the only one there. Or accept my VIP offer because I'd love to dive into your ICP. I hope you have a fabulous day filled of insights and remarkable findings. Take care.
Thank you for joining us in today's forward-thinking session of Human Connection Done Right. As we transition to our next expert speaker, remember that together we are redefining the future. To stay engaged and informed, visit revenue-bydesign.com, where together we will be deliberate, be intentional, and be successful.